listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week two of...
He's Batman.
...month, which is Matt's month. He got to pick the theme, and it's Matt's week. But Matt, before we get to your pick, it is your birthday. Or it was yesterday?
Yesterday was.
Do you want to tell everyone how old you are?
I'm a 38 special.
You're a 38 special? Wow.
I mean, the band, not the gun.
Do you want to tell everyone what I got for you that I gave you early?
You already got your birthday present?
It was so fucking annoying.
You motherfucker, dude.
No, I was sitting there.
How dare you?
She was like,
you're like Guido.
No.
Oh!
Look, no.
I am like our very good friend Heather. I'm not good at like keeping...
The fuck is that?
...at keeping gifts from people.
I'm right here.
Guido gets his Christmas gifts a month early.
Oh,
sometimes.
I don't do that.
Sometimes. Oh. When they're TVs. Yeah. Yeah, he does.
PlayStations. No.
Or PlayStation.
She was sitting there. She's like, your Christmas or your birthday present showed up. Do you want it? I'm like, it's not my birthday.
Oh, my God.
I admit it. I'm bad.
She's like, it's not. And then she's like, come on, you want it? And I'm like, no, it's not my birthday yet.
But it's also something he could use, like, now.
No, so. Allison.
No. Hold on, Tammy. I gave you your 12-volt car refrigerator for your birthday a month ahead of time.
I didn't ask for it.
Because you had a trip, so you used it on the trip.
That was very nice.
So that was my fault that I got my birthday present early?
No, just sometimes it happens.
This is just one present.
So then, yeah, it was the funniest. Friday, we went and had like our late lunch / early dinner thing before we came over and watched the town.
I love that you guys do that, by the way.
We both had a few drinks and then like watching the town.
Doing a good move.
She was all slip and sliding and
John Hamm.
And full on with the drinks and everything. And then she just walks in with the box that my gift was in. She's like, here. And I'm like,
what? Is this before or after the town?
It's after the town.
After the town.
I wanted you to be able to use it. Now that you've properly shamed me for my gift giving abilities.
She was all in a good warm mood.
Yeah. You want to tell everyone the gift I gave you?
What is that?
Yeah, she got me the latest Maddie Matheson cookbook.
Oh.
Ooh.
Which is autographed by Maddie Matheson.
Get the fuck out of here.
And I'm like,
it's all soups, sandwiches, and salads.
Like, stop with that fucking accent.
No, that's exactly how
This is how he talks. Soups, sandwiches, and salads.
No, she is continuing from the previous week.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay?
Shut the fuck up.
it's
that shit right there.
That.
No, so it's soup, salads, and sandwiches, and it's Maddie Matheson of... A just amazing Canadian
chef,
jelly roll of love, and also
he predates
on the bear.
Jelly roll. So jelly roll is a southern hick version of Maddie Matheson.
I think that guy's great. I like all of his food. I like his sense of humor.
So cute. He has
honestly
like three or four different restaurants in Canada, like in Toronto.
I like how he explains how he cooks things.
Oh my
it's
god!
Just
like, his videos
so
are hilarious.
Real.
I would love an audiobook
of his cookbooks. And
most of the book,
he's shirtless. You know, he's quite a large tattooed individual. Matt was looking at it, he was like, it's a choice making soup with no shirt on, Maddie. Okay.
Yeah.
But also more famously, Maddie Matheson is on The Bear, which takes place in Chicago.
Gaggle.
Which is where
yes,
a
Chicago
fictional
Chicago
universe takes place.
Chicago. Wait,
I gotta start watching that.
In these movies it is. Except for the third one where it's Pittsburgh.
Chicago, also known as Gotham City from...
At least in the Christopher Nolan universe.
2005 to 2011, we'll say.
Because the third one, they filmed in Pittsburgh. When they were filming, Lauren Panetta used to send me... She sent me a video of the Tumblr driving right below her building, like driving down the alleyway. First off, tell us about your Batman, and then tell us about your pick.
My Batman, of course, is Christian Bale. He is a Quad Pro Quo alum. All know him from Empire of the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
He is an ageless acting great known for Empire of the Sun. And as Batman, he's also known for Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
What?
The Secret Agent.
Oh.
And Shaft.
Really?
Captain Corelli's Mandolin?
Yeah,
that movie
he was a bad
Cage
guy in Shaft.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
He's a piece of
Come
shit.
Come on, guys. You know, I always go with the lowest rated.
He also played Laurie in the 1994 version of Little Women, starring Winona Ryder.
I liked him in American Hustle.
He's great.
And those movies. Oh, I love them.
He's great in American
Hustle. So okay. funny.
Well, yes. Yeah, so the reason why I, not so much that I picked this, I picked Christian Bale, because, you know, I love all facets of Batman. I'm super critical of it. I'm not going to sit and be like, oh, well, it's Batman, so I'll watch it. I'll still be judgmental of it, but I love Batman.
Yes, we heard your opinions about Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is nice.
I know.
Me personally, I chose Christian Bale and his Batman since he is my favorite Batman. Okay. I think he is a great
Bruce Wayne.
But the reason why he's not a great Bruce Wayne, and part of the reason why I think he's my favorite, is because this was the first Batman series where, like, it established the fact that Batman is the true character. That is the person. Bruce Wayne is like the alter ego. It's the character that he's playing, because his whole idea is it's the mission to fight crime, to avenge his parents. Bruce Wayne is the alter ego that he does to throw people off.
Gotcha.
Because, like, you know, like in the Tim Burton movies, Michael Keaton is still always trying to do that balance of Bruce Wayne personal life as well as being Batman. Val Kilmer was a huge thing. Like, you know, it came to the culmination at the end of the movie where he's like, I'm Batman because I choose to be. And we're not even going to fucking talk about George Clooney.
Why not? He had nipples.
And he had the bat card. Never leave the cave without it.
So, like, yeah, he's...
Sorry.
That's
someone with Uma Thurman.
This series, it's, you know, Batman is Batman. And Bruce Wayne, yes, the aloof fuckboy, but he doesn't really care about being Bruce Wayne. Pattinson, you know, Robert Pattinson in the Matt Reeves movie, it kind of comes close to that because he's so hardcore into being Batman in that movie. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, go ahead and watch it.
Batman?
It's pretty good. He totally doesn't care about being Bruce Wayne at all.
Yeah, Pattinson was kind of a younger Batman.
Yeah, it's to put it in perspective, like to put it into a comic perspective. Pattinson is kind of like Batman year one. Like, yeah, it's like his first 2 years into it being Batman.
Why do you love Batman so much? Like, why Batman over Marvel?
Because Batman's awesome.
Batman's always been my favorite. I always liked that he didn't have superpowers.
Exactly.
He was just somebody who wanted to do good. Money is a superpower.
It's not that he wanted to do good. He wanted to avenge his parents. Yeah. He wanted to make sure what happened to him never happens to anyone else.
Yeah. And I just always liked the fact that he didn't have superpowers.
And
he was
also
just a normal guy.
And I mean, no offense to my
rich guy.
No offense to my co-host over here, who has the same feelings about the Punisher.
Uh-huh.
Batman does that, but also doesn't kill. Still believes in the system of justice.
Yeah, I
Batman
think some people
also
should
has
die.
While being
really cool,
while
cars.
Being a vigilante,
very cool cars.
While being a vigilante and working outside of justice, he still abides by the legal system.
Yeah,
and doesn't go full on judge, jury, and executioner.
I would argue having a near infinite amount of money to be a superpower.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said money is a superpower. But he doesn't have, like, he's not a radioactive spider bite.
I know it's a different universe, but I consider him to be intellectually on par with Iron Man. He makes his gadgets. It's only in these movies, really, that he has Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, he gets help
to
from
make
Lucius,
his gadgets.
He
right,
gets help from Lucius Fox. He still makes them, but he also is able to be like, I know I need help with shit. But also the difference, and I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
yes,
you know what I mean.
That is a valid equivalency, but also
Iron Man has a thing in his chest, though.
You take away Iron Man's suit, Tony Stark is just hapless. He's a genius, but he's still.
Robert Downey Jr.
He's still just...
Oh, I'm only comparing them in terms of their genius. Engineering.
Because, you know, like, Batman is, like, an ace detective. He's also basically a ninja and all that stuff.
And a genius.
And from sheer fucking will, he has always tried to be the most perfect human specimen to do these sort of things.
His attribute side of the board is longer than Iron Man's.
So, again, just to reiterate, my movie is The Dark Knight. It came out in 2008. It had an estimated budget of $185
million. Damn!
Christ.
A worldwide gross of just over $1 billion.
Damn.
And has a Rotten Tomato score of 94%.
Where do we begin?
A year ago, these cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened?
So what are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman.
So, going around the room, had you seen my movie? What were your thoughts on my pick? How do you feel about Baby Bale as Batman? Allie.
I had seen it. I think I saw it in theaters. I was excited for the pick. I do not like Christian Bale as Batman, and I really don't like him as Bruce Wayne.
Tammy.
I had seen this. I was excited to talk about it with you, and I felt like I liked him as Batman more than I liked him as Bruce Wayne. I thought he was Magoo as Magoo. Bruce Wayne.
It's the voice.
Guido?
Maybe.
I've seen this movie 35 times. Get on my level, I've seen it 135 times. So I'll watch it 35 more times.
I've seen it when you watch it
this
once.
has my favorite Batman villain in it.
Every time you watch it, I've already watched it 3 more times.
What? This is horrifying. This is worse than the Boston accents.
No, you can get the fuck out of here with that shit. That's wrong.
Can you do
wrong.
The Batman voice in a Boston accent?
Wicked hardcore.
What? You thought it was going to be me, you, your brother, and Shine? That ain't happening. I'm Batman.
Yeah, dude, this is great Batman movie. I've seen it a lot. I've been on record saying he's my favorite Batman. Wow. But you know, you chose him first. I had to pick something else for later. So, and
it's my birthday.
I know, dude.
Or wait, hold on.
Never mind. You picked a Batman movie for you know, whatever.
It's my birthday month. Okay. And if I want to do a Batman movie, I'm going to do a goddamn Batman movie.
Okay. Well, you sound like a guy with nipples on a suit. So.
Which is not Christian Bale, apparently.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
But okay, you know, just the regular facts that we do with the beginning of every episode. Of course, this was directed by Christopher Nolan. He's a Quad Pro Quo alum. You may know him from Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah. Shivering Soldier.
Shivering Soldier.
Did he do Tenet?
He is also known for Interstellar, Academy Award winner for Best Director and Best Picture of Oppenheimer, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a fucking Nolan bro. I could go on and on.
He loves his Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's my Spielberg.
Great.
It was also written by Christopher Nolan. Co-written by his brother, Jonathan Nolan, who also helped write The Prestige.
He did The Prestige.
Memento. He also, his own project was the show Westworld on HBO. There was a third writing collaborator, David S. Goyer.
Goyer.
He's known for this. He's known for Batman Begins. He's also known for the entire Blade series, you know. He also helped write Man of Steel. Before all the superhero stuff, he was more famously known for Dark City. And he also helped write Jumper. Not the Third Eye Blind song, that terrible Hayden Christensen movie.
Oh, I like that movie.
Oh.
To our starring roles, as we mentioned, Christian Bale. It's also got Heath Ledger, another Quad Pro Quo alum, for the winner of last year's Mad Appreciation Month, A Knight's Tale.
Love. RSVP.
Yes, talented performer gone too soon. Also known for Casanova, The Brothers Grimm, and The Order.
Oh, The Order is so bad. Directed by the same guy who directed A Knight's Tale. That's why him and the Mark Addy are both in it. It's terrible.
And it's also starring Sarah Michael Caine, who is now entering the rank of third time with this movie. Because he was already a 2-time Quad Pro Quo alum for both his bit part as radio officer in Dunkirk.
Yeah, and he was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
And Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
So good.
He was also known for the best character in the best installment of the Jaws franchise, Jaws the Revenge.
Yes!
He is also known for Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
And your favorite movie, A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, but he's doing the bad movies. Wait, is Jaws the Revenge the worst movie on his IMDb?
It is one of them.
Yes! Yes!
But it bought him a nice house.
Literally.
I saw the house it bought my mother.
Like I said, I can somehow, you know, you can rank them where, you know, like the ratings. And then I just go down the... It's also, of course, starring Gary Oldman. He's also known for, you know, the Batman series as Commissioner Jim Gordon. And Academy Award winner for playing Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour.
How come you don't do his bad movies?
Because Gary Oldman doesn't have bad movies.
I thought someone was going to say The Fifth Element was one of them. I was about to fucking scream.
I'm sure
he was Zorg.
Many a bad movies, but...
And...
Wasn't he the bad guy in the... Was he in the... Not the...
Yeah, he's the bad guy in The Professional.
The Professional. Okay, yeah,
he's the same director.
Yeah, but that's not a bad movie.
Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, it's very questionable, but it's very good.
Oh, but it's really well done, yeah.
And if I don't say it like this, I'm sure I'll get notes from my brother and my cousins. Replacing Katie Holmes is Maggie Gyllenhaal, who is known for Donnie Darko and White House Down.
She's also now...
She's in Mona Lisa Smile.
She's also now a very well-respected and
director.
Very good director.
Okay, well, she looks like Mrs. Potato Head.
She is like, the Gyllenhaals are the opposites of how I feel about the Cusacks, because I know how you love...
I love Johnny.
You love John Cusack. I love Joan Cusack. But when it Joan's comes to great. The when it comes to the Gyllenhaals, I'm all on... And Swifties come at me.
All up in Jake's...
I'm Team Jake.
You're all up in Jake's hole.
Maggie can...
Oh, and she was cute and she exploded.
So, okay, just to get it, this, of course, is a sequel to Batman Begins, which is Christopher Nolan's gritty reboot of Batman, who everyone all but wrote off after the bomb that was Batman and Robin. Thanks, Joel.
That wasn't a bomb.
Thanks, Joel Schumacher.
Saw it at the theaters.
Is that the one where Seal did the soundtrack?
No, that's Batman Forever.
Oh.
But, okay, but here, you know, like, I know I was already talking about why I chose Christian Bale. There were several people that were up for the running of Batman in Batman Begins, not, of course, The Dark Knight. Would anyone like to guess who was up to be the newest Batman?
What year did Batman Begins come out?
Well, this was 2008, so I think it was like 2005.
Mark Wahlberg.
No. Ew.
2005?
Wait, could you imagine what a Matthew McConaughey Batman would look like?
I can, but it would be real, real bad.
He's got a good jawline for it.
Yeah.
Give us a hint of at least one of them.
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
No.
No, he's Van Wildering.
Right? Well, there was a guy, a show that Ben Affleck really liked to talk about in the town.
David Boreanaz?
David Boreanaz was one of them.
Damn.
Ooh.
Angel.
I could see that.
I could too, actually.
He could totally beef up like Batman.
And he also has a very strong jawline.
Yeah.
You have to have a strong jawline for the cowl.
And then also a brother of... Mrs. Potato Head.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jake.
I know.
God, that would be weird.
I know he's not short.
You
but
can't
he looks
have
short.
You can't have them being opposite one another.
Well, this was for the first movie, though, dude.
Yeah,
and Katie Holmes.
Yeah,
played
Katie
the
Holmes would have been that character.
Well, then Maggie would have never been.
All right. So since everyone guessed, I'll tell the other names. Guy Pearce.
No.
Because, you know, he collaborated with...
he was in Iron
the Time
Man.
Machine.
Well, no,
he
but he... Yeah, but he also collaborated with Christopher Nolan in Memento.
Oh, Memento. Yeah. Okay.
They discussed it, but then they also both agreed that...
He's too thin.
And also, he's too old to be
he
Batman.
He never would have been able to bulk up.
Another person, although I also would say too old, would be Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, I feel like... Well, I think he looks a lot like Two-Face in this movie.
I don't know... who this person is, but Ian Bailey?
Ian?
Yowen? Yowen Bailey? Oh, I know who he is. Okay. Yeah.
What is he in?
So I know him from like...
Law and Order SVU.
No. Although he was on an episode of Law and Order.
I knew it!
No, I know him from like ER, but he was in like, he was in Band of Brothers. He's not like a super famous dude. He looks like that. He kind of looks like Henry Cavill with a beard.
That's very nice of you to say.
All right, well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Henry Cavill would be a good Batman.
Yeah, he's a better Superman.
God, he is just.
You should not cover that
face. Yeah, he's too hunky to be covered up with a mask.
Please do not cover that fucking face.
Yeah, but he could beef up so well.
He can beef up.
He is beef.
But, I mean, he could. Yes, he could do it. But, again, he's better as Superman, so you could just see the whole face.
No. Is that's he not. No, they CGI'd the fucking mustache off his face. They can't even do that right, fucking Snyder dickhead.
Well, that was. That
yeah,
was,
but we already know he could be like that stoic character.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but I think he's too dreamy. Like, he's so, like, that's why I think he's such a good Superman
and
a good Clark Kent, because he's so, like, dreamy.
I like him mean, though.
So, like, and also, we said David Boreanaz. Billy Crudup was also considered.
Too skinny.
I don't know who the fuck Hugh Dancy is.
Hugh Dancy is, okay, weirdly, they both have been inside Claire Danes.
Weird.
Claire Danes is married to Hugh Dancy, and obviously Billy Crudup was the one that he left
Hugh Dancy
his wife
that,
for.
That the Billions guy? The ginger guy from that show she was on?
No, that's Homeland. No. He's Hugh Dancy is in, like, he's now on the regular Law and Order. He's like the DA on the regular Law and Order. I'll point him out to you. He would not have been a good bat. He's very, very thin British man.
So
like, it would not have worked.
He's known for Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal.
Adam.
He plays Will in the Hannibal show.
Will Graham.
Will Graham in the Hannibal show.
But guess what? But there was one other name that auditioned. There was one other name that auditioned for Batman before Christopher.
Liam Neeson.
Before Christian Bale.
Older or younger?
Nicolas Cage.
No.
Oh, well.
Oh, my God. Joshua Jackson.
He auditioned for it?
He auditioned for Batman for Christopher Nolan.
No way. I mean, if it was him and Heath Ledger in one movie, my ovaries would have exploded. Like, I would not have been able to contain myself in that.
You mean
theater.
To tell me that Joshua Jackson could have been
Batman?
And I gotta say this, I think he would have been a very good Bruce Wayne.
I'm not gonna disagree with you on that, sweetheart.
He doesn't have the cheekbones.
He'd be a good scarecrow.
He doesn't have the jawline. Like you just said.
He absolutely has the jawline.
No, he does not.
He does.
He has no jawline.
He does.
Okay.
He has no cheekbones.
He can do anything.
You know, ultimately, it came down to amazing visionary director Christopher Nolan.
Oh, Lord.
And the reason why Christian Bale was picked, and he said, you need an actor like Christian who is who has sufficient intensity and focus in his eye. It makes you believe in the idea that somebody without superpowers could, through sheer force of will, change himself into a superhero.
And also someone who is very comfortable screaming at on-set people when they get into a shot.
Don't fuck up.
And then he said...
Don't you fuck up in here.
Don't walk in my eye line!
He then also said, from meeting Christian and seeing his other performances from The Machinist and American Psycho, that he is a special kind of intensity that is shown in his roles. And it makes his character portrayal so believable.
I mean, there is a fine line between Bruce Wayne and...
Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, let's be honest.
One scene I will discuss first, because honestly, it's my favorite.
And it is the first scene.
It sets the tone for the entire film.
It does.
The opening sequence. Kind of just like last week, the movie starts with an elaborate bank heist.
Probably one of the greatest opening scenes of a movie ever.
100%. Seeing it in an IMAX screen, cranes into a opening shot of Gotham, and an elaborate heist sequence with criminals breaking into what we find out is later a mob bank. While they're doing all their secret tasks to get this job done, they're talking about who their boss is. They're talking about this new guy, the Joker. Who's the Joker? I don't know. Apparently,
yeah, they all have awful accents.
Apparently he wears war paint or like makeup or something. What the fuck's up with that? I don't know. Did you open the door? Oh, okay.
Guy
bam.
Puts the shoes on his hands because he gets shocked by the
They're all smoking plumbers and welders and like...
He told me to take the guy out.
Yeah,
funny. He told me the same thing.
Each guy does his part of the heist and is then bumped off by the guy right behind him. It ends with two guys still alive for the moment. The bank manager, played by the guy from Armageddon.
William Finkner. Does he shake the hand of the bravest man on the planet?
No, but he does get a grenade put in his mouth by the craziest man in Gotham.
Also, I love the opening shot of like from behind the Joker. And him holding the mask, and just slowly panning in, and he's so casual, and you know he's not wearing the mask and he's standing on the street without a mask on, but you also know he has the face paint. So he's just standing there like a fucking psycho with that face paint on as people walk by.
And, you know, as we all know about Christopher Nolan, he doesn't care for CGI or anything like that. He's totally practical effects. The bus crashing backwards into the bank in the opening sequence was much harder to create. The bus had to be taken apart and reassembled inside the building.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Which was apparently a disused post office concealed behind a large false wall and then propelled backwards with an air cannon.
Cool.
So it wasn't like it wasn't just like some dude driving a bus slammed it through the wall.
Well, I would assume not.
Because yeah, I love how like Allie has always said how she'd love to go back in time and see like certain movies for the first time in theaters.
Yeah.
For me, this is one of those movies. So like me seeing this movie,
I also think it's so funny how so many people had such thoughts about Heath Ledger being the Joker. And then as soon as he took off that mask, it was like geek boy bukkake fest. Like it was like, whoa. Oh my God, all of us. We all knew. We all knew he was going to be great. No, you didn't. All of you said it was a terrible casting.
Who's all of you?
All of you.
I didn't say Sam, that.
Right nope. here.
There were nope. so many Every people single, that didn't have any faith too, in him.
He's too pretty. He'll never be able to pull yeah. it off. He's too good looking. And I'm sorry. Amazing. You were one of them.
I legit was. I have this written down.
Sorry.
Read that.
In a Boston accent, please. Okay.
No. He's got it written here.
At first, I was like, oh, God, they're bringing the Joker back already. Jesus Christ. How many other fucking Batman villains could we do? But you're going to bring the Joker back. And you're going to have the guy from fucking 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's what everyone said.
Play the Joker.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then also, of course, yes, because other people that I was, when I was complaining about it at the time, they're like, well, didn't you see A Knight's Tale? I'm like, no, because it's a fucking chick's flick. And now
it wasn't a chick's flick.
And Casanova.
And literally.
So bad.
But Casanova is terrible.
So bad.
I think I saw the movie more because I was mourning.
Him.
Him.
Yeah.
I was so saddened by why he left this earth. And then when I heard that this was like the most incredible role that he's ever played in his career, like I had to see it. I can't imagine how much he put into himself to make himself so sad for a role.
Oh, yeah.
To then make him accidentally overdose over this.
But like in preparation for his role as the Joker, he hid away in a motel room for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And he delved deep into the psychology of the character. His ultimate goal was to create a tone that didn't, you know, parody Jack Nicholson from the 89 movie. He apparently based his look off of the chaotic, disheveled look of punk rocker Sid Vicious, that combined with the psychotic mannerisms of Malcolm McDowell from A Clockwork Orange. And I didn't know this. He directed the homemade videos that the Joker made in the movie.
That's cool.
Like where he tortured, you know, the fake Batman, where he also tortured Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
The first one was supervised at least first by Christopher Nolan, but he was like, "Nope, you did a great job, so we'll let you do all of them."
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Back to this opening scene. This another thing that's like personal to me. It started this little tradition that I had with, you know, my brother, our other good friend Seth, my cousin Seth, and his brother Josh. We literally drove up to the closest IMAX at the time, which was in King of Prussia, because Tammy would know when the trailer was coming out, you could see the trailer before I Am Legend, but if you saw it in IMAX, you saw the opening scene.
You got to see the opening scene.
I got to see the whole scene. And I remember you were talking about it, like how people would like come to the movie theater, they would come to see I Am Legend, but they would just go see the trailer, walk out and say they wanted their money back. And you guys had to like, no, fuck you, like that.
Well, they weren't missing anything with I Am Legend.
Yeah.
I mean, I got really drunk beforehand, so at least I was cognizant for that 10 minutes, and then I passed out, and I missed I Am Legend.
That's like when I went to see...
Poor dog.
I went to see the first Harry Potter trailer for the first Harry Potter movie, and it was before AI, artificial intelligence, dragged my entire family. Yeah, they still don't forgive me for that. They still remember. They're like, ugh, when we had to go see that terrible AI movie just so Allie could see a Harry Potter preview.
But then, you know, fast forward the 3 months, that was another trip. We went up back to the same theater.
Did you guys go to Bahama Breeze?
No, because we went at lunchtime, so we didn't get food beforehand. We went to go see the movie, but at the time, we only had three tickets. Only Taylor, Josh, and I went to the had tickets for the IMAX screening because Seth didn't know if he could show up because he was getting his driver's license that day.
Yeah,
that's adorable. So young.
But he got his license, was able to come up, and...
Wait, what year did this come out?
2008.
Okay, yeah, I was still working there.
What happened was we couldn't get him a ticket to IMAX, but he went to, we got him a ticket for a regular theater at that KOP, and it started like 20 minutes before us. But Josh went to go buy our tickets in the, and he went to like the automated dispenser, and there was an extra ticket in the dispenser.
For the IMAX show?
For the IMAX show.
Oh my what God. What luck.
So we're fucking like, we're texting Seth, and obviously he's being a, asshole by having his phone still on in the fucking movie theater, and we're like, dude, you come on, come watch it in IMAX with us. He's like, you better be fucking with me, and we're like, get your ass out here. And while we were standing in line, there was like you know, a really funny hillbilly in line with us. He's like, so is this the line to go see Mamma Mia? Because that was also one of the movies that was
that like, was that did come out like the same weekend. That was the original Barbenheimer.
To which then we responded, actually no, we're here to see Space Chimps. That was the third movie that was playing opposite Dark Knight. So, I mean, again, yeah, I talked about my opening scene. Is there any other scene that, like, a favorite scene in this movie that you guys want to talk about? Allie, you really like the penthouse scene.
I do. I like, so it's like the fundraiser
that
Bruce Wayne Bruce
Wayne is believing in Harvey Dent.
He believes in Harvey Dent.
Who's Everybody believes in Harvey Dent.
Aaron Eckhart. Played by
Aaron Eckhart.
I've never seen an actor have a career
plummet
from a movie like this.
Because, yeah, he's known, because, of course, he's known for this. He's also known for Aaron Brockovich, Thank You for Smoking.
Which are all great.
And what happened was he went to a, not like a Alcoholics Anonymous, but like a parent.
Oh, when he was in Run, Rabbit, Run. Or he was in Rabbit Hole.
He went to some grieving parent, like anonymous grieving parents group, just to be a method. Like,
so he's in this movie called Rabbit Hole, which is actually, it's an excellent movie with Nicole Kidman. And they play the parents of their child, like a six-year-old died, like got hit by a car and died. And to prepare for the movie, he went to a group of grieving, like an AA group, but for grieving parents who have lost children, and pretended to be a parent of a dead child. Oh, he pretended? Yeah, so
he wasn't honest.
So he could get like for method into the role. And
that's too much method.
Not go over. It's the wrong well method. When that came out, because Nicole Kidman was like, I didn't need to do that. Like, you know,
I didn't realize really he upbeat. Was in Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, he
looks so different.
Guy.
Yeah,
he plays the biker guy.
I see that now that you said it out loud, and I was like, get the fuck out of here in my head.
Thank You for Smoking, also starring Katie Holmes. I love that movie. And again, he did these great movies, and then it was just like a plummet into nothingness. Like, I don't even know a movie he's been in recently. Now he's basically like even lower than like Jerry B, because Jerry B still gets work. So, but the scene at the party, Bruce Wayne is throwing a fundraiser for Harvey Dent, because Harvey Dent is the district attorney.
He's the district attorney. He is the golden child of Gotham.
He's also dating Maggie Gyllenhaal's character of Rachel Dawes.
Yeah, Rachel Dawes. Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Joker crashes the party, and I love this scene because any scene with the Joker is just great. But I also love the fact that when he comes into the party, you see on screen Michael Caine is like right next to the elevator when it opens. And apparently Michael Caine this is the first time he saw Heath Ledger as the Joker. So the look of like shock on his face is genuine, because he had never seen him in the Joker makeup before. So when he comes in and he like fires the gun and like Michael Caine turns around, like he's genuinely like disturbed by him. And I kind of love like facts like that. But I also just like the how I got these scars and just like
I love the
whole like just everything about like him touching that guy's face. And then I love the little when he takes her out to the balcony and then Batman, let her go. Poor choice of words. And then he drops her. It's so, because it's that little, like, again, he's the Joker. It's that little hint of, like, funny. Like, but I also like when Bruce Wayne hears them come in, and then he goes into his bedroom and there's people, like, fake, like, almost fucking on his bed. And they're like, and he opens up the door and they're like, oh, thank God you have a panic room. And he closes it. They're like, oh, okay. It's just like, again.
Know that, your
like,
place, peasant.
Yeah, but that's definitely my, like, it's not my favorite scene in the whole movie, but it's definitely a good one. Plus, I love to watch Maggie Gyllenhaal fall to her death.
Just reiterate the fact that I'm like, I really wish Katie Holmes was allowed to come back for this. Fuck you, Scientology, and fuck you,
Tom. Blame Lord Xenu.
I don't have this hatred of Maggie Gyllenhaal that you have, but I actually think that...
You saw her face, right?
I mean, she did well.
Just saying.
I thought, actually do think that Katie Holmes was very good in the first one, and I, you know, unfortunately, she was in that toxic marriage with Tom Cruise, and she wasn't allowed to come back for the sequel because of Tom Cruise and Scientology, but don't come for us.
He can move things with his thoughts.
Did you hear Suri got her name changed?
Yeah, she dropped the Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's also...
She's in college
let's
now.
Let's be old. She's like 18.
She started college this September.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, this movie but is almost 20 years old.
I think she's excellent in the first one, and I don't not like Maggie Gyllenhaal. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal, but it's such a stark change, I guess.
So who was Batman when Katie Holmes, was it still Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, but they just switched leading ladies.
Well, yeah, because
she wasn't allowed to do the sequel because of
stupid Scientology.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise also had what was it, Tropic Thunder,
one of the million Mission Impossible movies he does.
I think Tropic Thunder was 2008.
Yeah, so it was Tropic Thunder. Yeah, so the next big scene that I want to talk about, because again, this isn't really about Batman. It just showcases how much, you know, my Nolan bro status. I just want to talk about the chase scene on the underpass
on the bike
with the where the semi-truck gets flipped?
Yes, like, you know, as we all know that the Joker is killing anybody that has anything to do with Batman, because, you know, if the Batman doesn't turn himself in, people will die. I'm a man of my word.
Is this where the bike comes out of the Batmobile?
At the end of the chase.
Because what happens is Harvey Dent turns himself in as the Batman. He gets put in the SWAT car, and then they're getting a police escort, and it's an attempt to lure the Joker out. They're saying that at first they were going to be on the overpass of Chicago's main byways, but then something directs them to go into the underpass, and then they're being chased by a garbage truck, a tractor trailer filled with the Joker and his goons. They're shooting guns at the SWAT car. They shoot a rocket launcher at it. And then Batman shows up in his tumbler. And then at one point, it does get massively blown up. And Batman has to shoot out into a Batpod. Yes, with nonstop action and explosions, and it ends with practical effects, because Nolan literally flips a tractor trailer face forward, trailer over cab.
Yeah.
Boom.
The massive amount of A, money, and B, to close off this, this is not a side street of Chicago.
No,
they were making them at night.
This is, yeah, it's insane. And it's so cool looking. It almost looks like it was done in reverse.
No, it wasn't.
Like, Steel cable right over the front.
It looks like they filmed it and then they ran it in reverse to make it look like that, kind of like, yeah. Very cool.
After the truck goes, you know, nose ass over tea kettle, we get a similar callback to the Batman versus Joker, just like in Tim Burton's Batman. But I'm going to say this. It's fucking better.
In what? Oh, the interrogation scene?
Well, no. We're like Batman is just riding on the Batpod and Joker's just like, come on, hit me.
Oh.
Come on, do it, hit me.
Oh, okay.
It's a Batpod? It's not like a... Bat motorcycle?
It's called a bat bike.
It's called the Bat Pod.
The Bat Bike.
It shoots out. It's all a pod. Right. It's an escape pod.
But does it have bat shark repellent?
Well,
good question.
What's it doing near the ocean?
While filming this scene, The Chicago Police Department received several calls from concerned citizens stating that police were involved in a vehicle pursuit with a dark vehicle of an unknown make or model.
Yeah, I could see that.
I would People try to use those recordings in my movie.
Give me your favorite scenes. We'll talk about them. We're going to go to Guido's scene. This is kind of a lead into Guido's scene. It's the infamous interrogation scene. So the Joker has now been caught and he's been put in custody. They want to interrogate him, and then they find out that both Harvey Dent and Rachel, Maggie Gyllenhaal, were both kidnapped while he's in custody. Oh. Obviously, he's behind it. Jim Gordon's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to interrogate you. I'm walking out, and turns the lights on. And this is one of the biggest scenes of the movie because it's really the first time that Batman and the Joker square off.
Yeah, the Joker says, I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you?
Yeah.
It is a symbiotic.
It really just... And it's like... It illustrates honestly, he doesn't do it for money. He just wants to fuck with Batman. He is the best Batman villain. He is an agent of chaos.
And but you just want to lead into the fact that you just want to talk about Maggie Gyllenhaal being blown up. So just talk about it.
So I really enjoyed how every limb was torn from her body as she was saying something.
Could I was just going to say, I'm like, the Joker gives Batman an ultimatum saying you have to choose which person you're going to save. He's on, 250 52nd Street, and she's on Avenue X. You're going to have to choose.
Also, Joker kind of a dick here because he stole so much fuel. He drove the price of, per gallon up in the area. I mean, how many gallons of fuel? No, seriously, it's got to be 100 fucking barrels in each of these rooms. Okay, he's ripping off, the regular guy here. It's kind of fucked up. Yes, very inconsiderate.
Yes, he doesn't care.
But of course...
As you said, he's an agent of chaos.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, because, Rachel is Batman's childhood friend and Girl love Friday. Interest.
Enjoyed watching her die.
God.
I did not enjoy watching Harvey's face get lit on fire.
Yeah, that was CGI fire. What are you talking about? There was no fucking practical effects, guy.
That was CGI.
No, well, obviously that, yeah.
Yes, because it's the shittiest fire in the movie. That's why.
We kind of wish, Aaron Eckhart's face did get burned there, but...
I don't. So, he's beautiful.
Do you remember, after his face is all,
And the whole character is just, I believe him. Like, I really believe...
I believe in Harvey
that
Dent,
he
too.
Wants you to do good.
I no, believe he does. He does. That he wants to be able
I
to keep
like
all the water in
character.
His mouth when
so
he drinks
much.
It.
At this point.
Unfortunately, that's how villains get made, is they get fucked over by...
I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And you just feel for him when this happens, and then he's like, I'm going to refuse all medical care, and
But yeah.
I'm going to be Two-Face now.
So now and Rachel died. It takes Batman into a sadness.
But I think it also is it's an important, I will say, learning moment for Bruce Wayne that he can't have everything that he wants.
Yeah.
And even when he thought...
Well, hell, he was going to lose Rachel anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it took this moment for her last words being, I love you, Harvey. And not, I love you, Bruce.
But he doesn't know that.
Well, no, Bruce, he heard it.
No, Bruce doesn't know that. Harvey knows that.
Yeah, Harvey knows that. Bruce doesn't.
True. Batman's riding on the Batpod.
And then she wrote him the letter.
That's right. And then they don't give it to him ever, do they?
No, because he's telling Michael Caine about his feelings. And then Michael Caine says to himself, Bruce Wayne's not ready to read this. I'm going
to
take it
very
and protect
rich
him.
White man's feeling.
And then he ends up burning the letter. Yeah.
Yeah. So he never truly knows.
Hey, his parents are
what
dead.
Rachel's
be nice.
Feelings are.
Well, it's his fault. His parents are dead. It's his fault.
What the fuck?
Well, he was the one that wanted to leave.
He
the
wanted
movie.
To leave early. If they hadn't left early,
yeah, but that movie sucked.
Shot.
Well, in this universe, it was the opera. Yeah, in this universe, it was an opera that triggered his trauma of being in a cave surrounded
by bats.
It's his fault. All right, so yeah, another fun fact about that interrogation scene. Christian Bale said that during the interrogation scene, Heath Ledger wanted him to actually beat him as hard as he could.
Sounds about right.
To get the real feeling of what was required from the scene.
Do you think Christian Bale would have done it because he's so method also?
They're both method. This was a fucking nightmare of a set. You have those two. You have fucking Gary Oldman. You have Christopher Nolan with his I only use like a landline phone. Like, fuck off. Everyone sucked on this set.
I'm sure Gary Oldman, by being method in this movie, was going to be awesome because Jim Gordon is a great person. So if if he's going full method, he's being a great person.
Only talk to me like I'm like you have a mustache.
Mustache.
I didn't get any notes from Tammy about what scene she wanted to talk about.
Did you ask me?
It was in the group chat, my friend.
Oh, well, I was...
What about the one where he makes that pencil disappear? Love that one.
That is a good one. I also love... It's a very quick montage of scenes where he kills off all the people, like the mayor and the judge.
He
doesn't
kill the mayor. He kills a judge. He kills a couple of cops.
I like the scene where he's like... If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to blow up the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And then he, what is it, Governor Gordon, Commissioner Gordon?
Commissioner Gordon.
He's like, you know, doing all of these good things and he's being recognized. And then he's in the hot seat for the last like hour of the movie because he makes mm-hmm. some fuck ups. And then this is one of the bigger ones where he makes a call and then he doesn't make the right call. And then the whole hospital gets blown up.
Do you think that's on Commissioner Gordon?
Right? Commissioner Gordon.
He's the man in charge. Everything's his fault.
He is the man in charge.
He didn't blow up a hospital.
No, but he let him go. He let him out of the cuffs. And then they let him have his phone call. And then
Gordon wasn't there. Commissioner Gordon was going to try and go and save Rachel.
Also, he's not Commissioner Gordon right now. He's just... Detective Gordon.
No, after they arrested the Joker, the mayor made him commissioner.
That's right.
Also, the guy that plays the mayor just won an Emmy for that Shogun show.
Because but he let him out of the cuffs.
Commissioner Gordon wasn't there. Commissioner Gordon was going to go save Harvey at the explosive site while Batman was thinking he was going to Rachel. That was just some other cop that let the Joker out of the cuffs and let the Joker have his phone call, which made Fat Guy Tummy Bomb go off.
Tummy Bomb!
That was a good scene, too. There's, like, also so many funny memes.
Also, in that scene, you know, when Commissioner Gordon was made Commissioner Gordon, when Heath Ledger was sitting there clapping, totally improvised by Heath Ledger.
I like when he's walking away, because there's so many funny scenes, or funny memes from, like, hospitals and nursing related, where you're, like, leaving my third 12-hour shift, and then you see Joker, like, walking away in his nurse's outfit, and the whole hospital is exploding. It's like a really funny meme to me.
That was also improvised because the timing was off on the explosion.
Yeah, but he made it work.
He's checking the batteries in the remote.
And there it is.
Yeah.
Again, the ending of the movie, you know, the Joker, he's said that, like, he's going to blow up two ferries, one full of prisoners, one full of...
Regular
people. If neither of them choose which one they're going to blow up, he'll blow up both of them. And then also, you know, Batman was tracking him through some crazy cell phone stuff.
Typical NSA stuff.
You know, as we've already established... This Joker doesn't need a backstory. He is an agent of chaos, as my co-host has said.
Well, it's what I like about the Joker is you don't ever get a backstory, which is why I hate the Joker movies.
He is just a man who wants to watch the world burn.
Which is what a villain should be.
I saw a child with a ruby.
A ruby.
The size of a tangerine in their mouth.
In their mouth.
The bandit.
Oh my god, it's like Sir Michael Caine is in the room right now.
Tangerine.
A tangerine.
You think that it was gonna be you,
oh my god.
Me,
oh no.
Your brother
Sean.
And Sean.
No. In Tangerine, Florida.
In Tangerine, Florida.
I get it now.
No.
I was like, all right, I'll go with this. And then I was like, Tangerine, what the fuck? Got it.
So I will say this. While I think Dark Knight is a great movie, I think it lags in the last like 30 to 40 minutes.
For me,
the last actor's like, oh, there's an extra act here.
The ending is not, the last act, in my opinion, is not great. I don't like the Harvey Dent arc. I don't think it's good in any way, shape, or form.
What?
For me, the saddest part was, you know, one of Heath Ledger's last lines was, I think you and I are destined to do this forever.
Oh.
To go with what Allie was saying, for me, a thing that prevents this from being a truly perfect film is the wasting of Two-Face.
He's such a great villain, and can be a great character arc, they completely waste it.
So is it because he is just,
I mean, he like dies chaotic? In the end. No, but he dies like, in the end, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. More of like the victim at the end instead of like the villain.
Honestly, Two-Face is a villain where, as much as I love the Joker, Two-Face is one of the biggest failures that Batman has ever had as Batman, because Two-Face was one, as Harvey Dent, was one of his biggest allies. And he got hurt and became one of his biggest villains. And the fact that they were like, you know, Nolan's just sitting there, he's like, yeah, you know, but you know what? I already got the Joker here, so I'm going to take this villain that has a lore and a backstory that is just as rich as the Joker's, and I'm going to be like, oh!
I think they were really...
You just fell off the wall and you're dead now.
Obviously, they weren't planning on Heath Ledger dying. I think they would have had Heath Ledger in the third movie. So for them, having this secondary character of Harvey Dent / Two-Face was just, fans are going to be like, oh, Harvey Dent, great, yay. You know, but then just like killing him off was just, it's a waste. It's a waste. No, he's a great villain.
For me, honestly, I was like, sure, yeah. Had Heath Ledger not died, it wouldn't have been the Joker again, hopefully. Like, the Joker would have been like a bit part, kind of like how the Joker was a bit part in the Pattinson movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was at least hoping, before I saw him fall and die, Two-Face was the big villain.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
But instead we got, oh, yes.
You liked Bane.
I like Bane, but I like Two-Face more.
Okay.
Bane's body. I don't understand why they don't bring out more of the villains, because it's been the Joker for so long. I know. Long. Like, we've gotten so many movies with the Joker. The Joker's
so charismatic.
But then again, maybe it's just because Aaron Eckhart is lame, and that's why they didn't want to make him...
Maybe.
Force him on us again.
Or that, you know, terrible CGI half face, I can't keep water in my mouth.
It's a Bobo Thomas Jane.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
But another thing that I loved about this movie was it tied into one of my favorite Batman stories, The Long Halloween. And then also... All that aside, that fucking monologue that Gary Oldman has.
Because he's the hero Gotham deserves, but not the one it needs right now. So we'll hunt him. Because he can take it. Because he's not our hero. He's a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a dark knight.
He's not a hero.
Oh, nice. Gun fact. The Joker gives Two-Face a stainless Smith & Wesson Model 64 with a 3-inch heavy barrel.
Beautiful. So, Tammy, how long do you think, if Two-Face chose a different way out and just tried to live, do you think he's dying from infection? Like, he's chosen to not do skin grafts. He's got a mutilated, scarred, fucking fire fuck face. So, how long is he living? How long is he living with this, this mangled dog meat of a mug? Like,
I mean, it depends upon if he's a very clean individual, I guess.
You know he's not. He's drinking and dribbling out of his cheek. So
no, he drinks. He boofs his drinks now.
Ew, through his butt?
Then he's going to be pooping out of his mouth, so that's even worse.
There you go. Then if he's boofing all of his liquids, then he'll be fine.
Is that a technical term?
Boofing?
Boofing?
No, yeah. It's not technical in the least.
Is that butt chugging?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You crush up your pills, you put in a wet paper towel, and then you shove it up your butt.
Faces is your very face important. Is
important. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I it's think your face. He,
that's the money
there's
maker.
No way he would have truly not and honestly. He would need to be intubated. Really? Like his throat would have been fucking ruined. Like he would have been in the ICU like on a ventilator for weeks.
I feel mean saying this because, as you said,
it's not realistic.
Does not like CGI, and that's apparent because I feel like they got the same person who did like the fucking Imhotep and the Mummy. Like it looks like that. It looks like
the Scorpion King.
No, it's that same like.
Oh, when the Mummy gets his body back.
Yeah. No, when he's like halfway to his body. Yeah, yeah.
So
great.
That was my movie.
Good.
That was The Dark Knight. So let's just go around the room. Pass fail. Allie.
I'm going to fail this movie, actually. Talking about it has made me hate it. And yeah, I hate it. No, I'm kidding. No, I pass it. I'm not a huge Christopher Nolan bro.
Yeah, there are no Nolan sisses.
Sorry.
It's just Nolan bros.
Well, let's be honest. Of all the movies he's done, only one passes the Bechdel test, and it's The Dark Knight Rises. Of the movies that he's done, this and The Prestige are the only ones I actually really genuinely enjoy watching. I love Heath Ledger in it. I still don't really like Christian Bale as Batman, but that's just me. I love Michael Caine. I think the casting in this movie is excellent. I really do. I think Gary Oldman's a great Commissioner Gordon. So yeah, pass.
Okay, so Tammy?
I'm going to pass it. I really have a sweet spot in my heart for Heath Ledger, especially in this time in his life. Always, always, always loved Heath Ledger. And the Joker character was just amazing. So yeah, pass. Yeah.
Guido?
Oh, dude.
Oh, dude.
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 Love this fucking movie. It's got my favorite Batman villain. It's got Heath Ledger that did No One Could Have Done It Better. I'm sorry, he was better than
Jack.
He was better than Jack.
He's the best now. He's
best Joker.
He's definitely different.
Absolutely incredible. And
hell, I'll even say he's better than Mark Hamill. He's better than the cartoon.
I feel as strongly as like some actors, they have a role that they were born to play. Robert Downey Jr. was born to play Iron Man. Okay? Fucking like
Kathy Bates was born to play Misery.
Exactly. Who's Captain America? The most Captain America looking motherfucker. Okay, so
somebody's ass.
Chris Evans.
Somebody's America's ass.
I love watching him rip apart that stump of wood.
A man named Chris.
It's so good.
When he looks like he's grabbing a butt though.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean? He's got two hands, a butt, and he just rips it.
Mm.
Sean Connery was born to play James Bond.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, and I really enjoyed watching him make a pencil disappear. I like him really driving home. He's only here to fuck with Batman by setting $1 billion on fire. $6 billion. He set it on fire. If that's not like a huge power move, I don't know what it is.
Big
like
dick energy.
So, huge.
How big do you think the Joker's dick is?
I don't know if it's big.
No?
I don't give a fuck.
Do you mean like
metaphorically? Or
also,
like,
do you think the Joker has ever had sex?
I mean...
Yeah, he has
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, who's nuts?
100%.
The Joker fucks.
All right, the Joker fucks.
Yeah.
All right.
He's packing a can.
These are important questions.
Okay.
The Joker's
got a big chungus hog.
A lot of Batman's villain. I think the only...
The Penguin, however...
No, the Penguin
Bane.
Fucks.
Bane's got a small one.
Bane's
got a little dick for sure.
No, the Penguin... Absolutely. The Penguin's got an innie.
Maybe not... Maybe Danny DeVito.
He's packing the most heat.
But the Colin Farrell Batman, the Colin Farrell Penguin fucks.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would fuck
the Colin Farrell.
The only Batman villain that I could probably say doesn't fuck is the Riddler.
Yeah.
Passes all around.
Yeah, it's a pass.
We're going for a perfect month. Feeling it.
You feeling
okay.
it?
I'm feeling it too. I really am.
I feel like this might be the toughest month we ever.
It's
going to
be. I mean, not for me, but it's going to be.
You know what?
It might be tough for me.
We're just going to keep this going. And Tammy, who is your Batman?
My Batman is George Clooney.
Nipples.
You ruined it. We are going to have a perfect month.
So Nipples. I was worried because I am usually like the last person to see the group chats. And I'm usually the last one to call out like what my movie whatevers are. And I get fucked on the characters that I get to choose.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. I'm thinking of the month where I had to pick the favorite, which ended up being a really good month. The Taylor Swift month.
You won that month.
I know.
This bitch has got some fucking balls.
I know.
What is the movie, Tammy?
Talk about biting the hand that feeds you.
That was rough because y'all got to pick like...
You're rough.
All of T's like best.
Oh, you got the lower of the T Swifty boyfriends.
I did.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that.
You still fucking won though.
You still won though.
I know, yeah, because it was up, a Tammy. Really good movie.
It was a good
but,
movie.
But nevertheless, I was sweating bullets because you guys were like, I'm gonna do Val Kilmer. I'm gonna do
Nobody
Christian
did Val
Bale.
Kilmer.
I'm gonna do
Nobody did Michael Keaton. You could have done Beetlejuice.
I was like sweating bullets, so then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do
You literally picked George Clooney before I know. Any of us said our pick.
Because I wanted to
Nobody
make
wants
sure.
to watch The Peacemaker.
Right. So then I was like, okay, let me peruse through George's movies.
She's making us watch Intolerable Cruelty.
Oh, that movie's terrible.
And I just happened to stumble upon this gem.
Nah.
That I had never seen before, so I popped it on the tube.
Oh, it's brother, where art thou?
Guido comes up. It's a 1996 horror action movie. It's can be watched on Pluto TV for free.
I love this movie so much.
Or like if you have a premium subscription to Sling or Philo, you can watch it for free. Otherwise, you have to buy it.
I'm okay. Chubbed up thinking about
Which
it right
you
now.
Should.
But it stars Quentin Tarantino.
Who also wrote it.
Who wrote this fucking movie. Director Robert Rodriguez, DJ Catrona, George Clooney, Salma Hayek, Guido's...
Oh, yes.
I would fuck that celebrity.
100.
I watched it for the first time when I was perusing for just this month, and it's From Dusk Till Dawn. And I was like, this is fucking hilarious and awful and wonderful all at the same time.
I'm not to be so like, glad you liked
not
it.
Not to give away the end. I told both my parents your pick, and they voted for years for best movie
ever. For me?
Oh, yeah. My parents fucking love this movie.
And then I was it's like, awesome. Quentin Tarantino's amazing, and Matt loves Quentin Tarantino. We all love Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
And then the foot fetish right
yep.
there.
The foot yeah. fetish, the titties.
That's tequila toes, baby.
Tequila.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? This is going to be a fun one.
Yes. From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
And the Batman for next week is... George motherfucking Clooney.
Only Looking one forward Batman to it. Movie.
Yummy. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And you can recommend a theme month on our website or via social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
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 Bye.